drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths. It is, we are told, the way of the future, the educational path for a successful career. But with STEAM on the rise, that's the addition of ARTS in the acronym. Yes, ARTS. ARTS sneaks in. Is there a need to re-evaluate what it takes to be involved in technology? Are the humanities making a comeback? Gavin Diamond is the Managing Director, ANZ, at Blue Wolf, an IBM company. And Edwina Kolomansky is the co-founder of Girl Ed World. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Gavin, it's pretty easy to understand why maths might be important if you want to get into the tech industry, but why are the humanities relevant?
The tech space is evolving, and it's evolving really quickly. Maths, engineering, science is all critical to that tech space. However, in my industry, we're leveraging technology to deliver human-centered design. We're especially focusing on customer and employee experiences. And in order to deliver those customer and employee experiences, you absolutely need to have divergence in thinking. The arts and humanities provide the what and the why, and the tech skills tend to provide the how. Without the former, you can't really have the latter. And you know, we're living in an age of all different types of technology. Cognitive computing, for example, is one of the hottest things in town. We talk about digital chatbots. But in order to humanize that experience, nobody wants to talk to a digital chatbot that's, you know, got a computer's voice like Stephen Hawking in that regard. You need copywriters, you need creative thinkers to be able to humanize that experience and deliver a unique brand and voice for your organization.
Edwina, you work with young women who might be interested in getting into careers in STEM. Does Gavin's message resonate with you? Is there a space for the humanities?
Absolutely. And I think Gavin made a great point in terms of the fact that the world is changing rapidly. Yet when we think about the education space, it's kind of stuck in a holding pattern. And we've got career education and we've got STEM curriculums, which don't reflect the changing and evolving and rapidly disruptive nature of the real world and the industry. So absolutely, there's a lot of the real world which needs to be translated for young girls, particularly young girls who are thinking about entering the STEM industry. And we know that only about 16% of skilled and qualified STEM people are women, which is absolutely phenomenal when we think about that. I think it's about 75% of future jobs are going to require STEM skill sets. But when we think about those technical skill sets, that's only one piece of the puzzle, because we need to think about how we work together, because at the heart of technology and we spoke about like just chatbots just before, are humans consuming that technology? So there really does need to be the human piece of the puzzle in STEM. And I think for sort of the last sort of 5 years, the dialogue has just been around STEM. So the introduction of the arts and the human back into STEM, science, technology, engineering and maths is a massive and very important shift.
What do you do with Girl-Ed World?
I guess it's a very complicated problem we're trying to solve. And the problem we're trying to solve is the underrepresentation of women in leadership positions, in innovation roles, in entrepreneurship and startups, and also in the STEM industry. So what Madeleine Grummet, my co-founder, and we founded Girl World back in 2016 when we were studying a Masters of Entrepreneurship at the University of Melbourne's Wade Institute, which is a bit of a mouthful. And we were talking about the lack of visible female role models. And particularly we were discussing about that notion of girls can't be what they can't see. And particularly when you've got an industry, an emerging industry such as STEM or STEAM, as we're going to call it in this discussion, we noticed that with such an underrepresentation of women, who do girls have to look up to? And is that an explanation as to why there's just kind of this chasm effect of girls? We've got 50% of girls and boys in high school, and but when girls have the opportunity to start selecting their subjects in the upper areas and echelons of their secondary education, they start opting out. And then when we get to tertiary decisions about what career, what university or tertiary pathway you're going to go into, we see another drop off of girls not opting in to go into study. And then at the end of their degrees, we've got another drop off of girls not entering the workforce who are STEM qualified. And those kind of chasms continue. And then you add in the issues of childbirth and raising children, and that adds to it. And then we get to the end of the pipeline, if you will, and we've got this very small group of women who are leading companies, and then an even smaller group of women who are leading STEM companies. So I guess with Girl World, this is a very long-winded way of saying it, where we want to broaden the frame of reference of young girls to show them what they can be. We want to make visible female role models, STEM champions, really like innovative and amazing women. We want to make them visible to young girls when they're making critical career and education decisions in high school.
Gavin, what are big tech companies doing about these issues, about this diversity? And does it kind of segue back to the STEAM issue, to bringing some of that arts back? Because, okay, if some of these women are already self-selecting out, they're also going into perhaps the arts. Is there a way of bringing them back in?
There absolutely is. So, you know, when you look to the fact that 7 of the 10 largest companies around the world right now are tech companies, it's vital for those tech companies to look to diversity. Diversity, to me, really brings a variety of tenants together. I can tell you that in our organization, we employ thousands of people around the world. Here in Australia, we are 41% women, and fast climbing, and we're driving that statistic up. But we have a huge divergence in thinking specifically around the fact that only 10% of our workforce right now is science and technology graduates, for that matter. So most of our workforce comes out of arts and humanities majors. I mean, even so that our chief technology officer who lives in New York City, one of the, you know, you have to absolutely be witty and smart, and you've got to bring intelligence to the table. But our CTO in New York is an English literacy major. Before joining Blue Wolf, he was couriering around information on bicycles through New York City. And, you know, it really just talks to the way in which humanities needs to drive and inform that technology, because the consumer is asking for it as well. And we're seeing a big shift right throughout the technology space in bringing in this mindset.
How do you go from bicycle courier to chief technology officer?
Interesting. So Lou had a number of stage gates in that career. He joined Blue Wolf 18 years ago, and had a multitude of careers inside of the organization. Technology today is being designed to be simpler and simpler. When you look at the platform that we work on Salesforce.com. And the technology that they're designing is really around Lego block building as opposed to code management. The intent is that they wanted to create a technology platform that was as easy as buying a book on Amazon.com. And with that in mind, you can very quickly become relevant in the space without necessarily having that coding background or that deep engineering background.
If you're just joining in, this is RN Drive. You're in the drawing room. Edwina Kolomansky and Gavin Diamond are my guests in the drawing room. And we're talking about STEM, STEAM, and why the humanities might be a good career bet. Or if you're going down that road, you know, maybe don't be so scared about it. Should we care about the humanities because they're important to tech careers, or are they overselling the value of technical careers, full stop?
I think we have placed that really strong emphasis on tech and tech careers and STEM technical expertise. And that started, we see that definitely in an early stage in high schools about schools trying to up the ante in terms of their STEM programs. But up until sort of recently, it's been missing other 21st century and soft skill sets in that kind of dialogue and conversation. So yes, STEM technical expertises are very important, and I'm not going to deny that. But what has been missing is, if you do enter a STEM industry and workforce, how are you going to communicate with your employees? How are you going to problem solve really complex, maybe social problems that your customers are experiencing, or how are you going to solve quite a technical problem? So I guess STEM skill sets are one thing, but teaching kids and students and employees how to relate to one another is just as important.
So, Gavin, I'm going to get really practical. I want to make it really accessible for people. So let's pretend that I've just, you know, finished a Bachelor of Arts undergraduate degree at Melbourne University. You know, maybe literature is my major. Okay, I'm a young person that's just finished an arts degree, but I wouldn't mind working in the technology, but I've never coded or I've just like, you know, played with the kids' version of the apps like mine do, but really not my world. How do I get a job with you?
There's a variety of different entry points. When you think about building technology, technology is no different than building a building. A building needs an architect. It needs labourers. It needs plumbers. It needs electricians. We have the same speak in the technology world. We have developers. We have the coders. We have the architects. But mostly, underpinning all of that now, we are focusing specifically around design thinking. Design thinking is about how you put the human into the center of the technology. And in order to do that, there are many elements that you can drive as an entry point. Research is a major one. So understanding the consumer sentiment and going out in the field and being able to run hypothesis testing and various labs and experiments to determine that what you're actually building is going to be consumed in the right kind of fashion. And that's a great entry point for us as well. The second piece is really around workshop facilitation. You know, we work in and walk into amazing rooms and great technical giants and big companies around Australia. And there's multiple stakeholders in the room, all with different thoughts on what the future is going to look like for their organization. And in order to surface that information, we need world-class facilitators to be able to drive out those unique ideas and bring them together on a common thread and a common roadmap of initiatives that's going to deliver this result downstream and these business outcomes downstream. And you don't need to be a technical evangelist, or you really don't even need to touch technology to understand how you can drive business outcomes. And in many cases, commerce degrees are as relevant, law degrees are as relevant in the sector.
What about ethics, from social networks to self-driving cars? There's a lot of technologies colliding with pretty significant ethical concerns. Is this a space where the mix of skills is important, Edwina?
Absolutely. We have spoken about the fact that humans are at the centre of technology. The fact that a self-driverless car will be driving most likely a human around, or we've got chatbots that will be interacting with a human that's got a question or a concern. So the fact that, as Gavin's mentioned, the importance of things, human-centered design techniques like design thinking, are fundamental to making sure we're building and we're working for things that humans want and need. I think the techie kind of Silicon Valley persona of boys in T-shirts designing things away from the real world and away from customers does kind of put a bit of a skew on what a career in technology could look like. But really, in the real world, we see customer experience experts who spend their days talking to customers, understanding pain points, doing a lot of human-to-human connection versus doing the more technical build of the technology.
So in your own work, Gavin, I mean, there is that stereotype of, you know, boys in T-shirts or young men in T-shirts, to be fair to them. I think they've, you know, past 18 mostly. but do you kind of try and challenge your own ideas, your own biases about what the same cookie cutter kind of person can produce for you?
Absolutely. And look, there's a number of facets in play right now. We are, without doubt, while we're obviously talking about bringing the A into STEM, there's no doubt about the fact that we are in a STEM shortage in the country. There is simply not enough developers and coders and technical acumen across the board in Australia. So I think a lot of organisations are really taking whatever they can get. One of the things that we're really doing is fostering the mindset of the next evolution of employee in this, what we call the fourth industrial revolution, which is really around how really artificial intelligence coming to the foreground. And we're doing this by going into universities right now And we're embedding the course curriculum of the Salesforce technology into the university, not just in the science and technology majors, but in the arts and humanities majors across a diverse group of students. We're showcasing the work that we're doing to ensure that that these students have the aspiration and can at least see what the path of the future looks like. And then we have an entire program specifically out of Ballarat where we're actually bringing in regional students into an IBM Blue Wolf garage and then training them up to be deployed into the workforce as well. And that has both genders in equal proportion.
Edwina, do you have big hopes that this the gender part of this piece, because there are so many elements of this conversation, is going to turn around?
I think we're well on our way to turning things around because it's now a conversation and it's something that is being discussed in boardrooms and in workplaces and now even in schools and universities, which is a very, very important first step. But I guess our work through Girl World is we see girls in our target group, which is around 14 to 18 years, year old girls, in secondary schools all around Australia, and we see girls self-selecting out of STEM because they have a preconceived idea around what STEM is and what so I'm taking chemistry classes at school and I'm working in a laboratory. What does this mean for me in the real world? So I think there's a really, although there's some great work going on from companies around the world promoting diversity and making a concerted effort in terms of trying to bring the numbers up, I do think that there's a long way to go when we're working with girls in a school environment who are already saying STEM's not for me.
So do you sneak it into the humanities then?
Well, I think you can potentially try that, but I think even more so you have to demystify it for the young generation. And that's where that school curriculum program really comes in that effort of making STEM an exciting place to be, an accessible place to be for both young men and young women of the future.
And I definitely agree with that. And one of our programs of work at Girl World is providing experiences. So we run what we call WOW Summits, so World of Work Summits. And we've just run one in Melbourne and we're running one in Sydney in early of 2019. And the real purpose of that is to challenge the thinking of young girls, to connect them with amazing industry leaders and show them what STEM looks like. And the overwhelming feedback we get from attendees is they go, look, initially I was like, oh, I'm not doing like science or technology. It doesn't fit with what I think my career is going to look like. But what we see through it's a transformation of mindset and I guess uncovering opportunities that the attendees and girls didn't know existed before they'd come to that experience, which is mind-blowing. And it reminds us that we do need to provide mentorship to young people, not just girls, but boys and girls, to help them navigate what is a really ambiguous and uncertain future world of work.
And it starts very early. You know, why can't we have ballerinas who code? And ensure that our young girls are being influenced by the technology. I've got three children. My oldest is 5. I took her to Science Works over the school holidays. She was interested in all the robots. That was the coolest thing in town for her.
Yeah, robots are cool.
And robots are cool. So why don't we start with robots and ensure that we have hands-on experience? And I think centres like that, like Science Works, are enabling kids to touch technology and see how cool technology can be.
It is cool. Hey, guys, this has been a fascinating conversation. Let's kind of revisit it in a couple of years and see where we've got to, hey?
That sounds like a good... Hopefully it won't be that long. We'll see more women in the boardrooms.
Earlier.
Well,
I like your ambition. Gavin Diamond and Edwina Kolomanski have been my guests in the drawing room. Gavin is the Managing Director ANZ at Blue Wolf and Edwina is the co-founder of Girl Ed World.